Amen. 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 Thank you, worship trio. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know where you're at, church, but I feel the anointing of God right now. I feel His, what does that mean? I feel His presence. The anointing is God's presence. Just walking around the sanctuary every time we have a Sunday morning, and what I'm doing is I'm praying over all the pews. I miss the day that the pews were full. I know it's coming again soon. I'm going to be prepared. Church, I want you to know it'll never be the same again. And that's good. That's good. Why do I say that's good? Because the way that we've done it before, I don't know about you, but in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, I don't know where you're watching this, we have a lot of lost and dying and broken people. And the way we were doing it before, we didn't see a revival or reformation in our city. You don't have to be in a church building to be a part of the church. I think God is stripping things away from us, and He's allowing us to appreciate what we once had, but yet changing what we once will get. We're going to get something new. It's going to look different. And as long as we listen to the Spirit of God, it's going to be right. Believe it. I'm excited for that day when we can worship together again, but I pray that it be different than what we remember. May it be more powerful. May it be more anointed. May it be more purposeful. We're only coming here for a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, and it didn't change us. There's no point. Could have stayed home. Could have been in your jammies. No more. I believe a revival's coming. I believe it's on the horizon. I believe there's going to be an outpouring. God's word tells us that. There's been signs and signs and signs and signs. Please, read God's word. Read Daniel. Read Revelation. Read some of those prophetic books in God's word, and recognize the times that we are living in. Not to be scared. Man, if you want to be scared, put on CNN. If you can trust CNN. But put on some sort of news channel. You want to be scared, but open God's word and be prepared. Amen? Amen. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. I'm so thankful. Damu, Walter, Brent, thank you so much for leading us in worship. It's phenomenal. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. Tech team, excellent. Everybody in the world can hear me right now? Come on now. I heard a woo! Yes, yes. All right, no mime this Sunday. Like you don't know what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be able to do this. We went, you know, on a normal Sunday, we have probably about 300 people. You know, 280, something like that. And now we reach thousands. I mean, that's God. God doesn't do addition. God does multiplication. And so it's pretty awesome. We're going to keep doing this, in case you're wondering, forever, right? You can come and worship with us when the church is open, when the church doors open, and we get prepared and we know how we're going to do this, and coronavirus and some of those numbers keep going down in Linn County where we live. But we're also going to do live stream, so you could either watch it at home, we'd love for you to come and join us, or you can watch it back again, or there's people all over the world and all over different states watching us this morning. We're so glad that you joined us for church this morning, and it's my pleasure to bring God's word to you today, and I miss your faces, and I pray that you are well. How was your Mother's Day last week? Good? Anybody? Walter. Walter says it's good. Amen. Bueno. Bueno. Yeah. That's great. Man, last week's message with Jan Matthews brought, wasn't it phenomenal? I mean, it was so good. She is anointed. Man, that was so good. I'm so glad we listened to the Spirit of God, and He told us that we need to go a different angle, and I'm so glad that we listened to Him. And then even though all this stuff kind of got weird, we still said, we got to do it, you know? Come and travel and speak, and then see you later. Felt weird. Feels weird. Doesn't it feel like you're just mean sometimes? Like right now, you're like, hey, nope. Like, I'm a hugger, and I'm just always like, No, I can't. Hey, and then when they leave, you're just like, bye. Right? It just feels awkward. Man, I look forward to the day of hugs and handshakes again in the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, this Wednesday, we witnessed a modern-day miracle. A 56-year-old healthy man named Dudley Hiles was given a death sentence after being in a coma for almost a month. Our church and other local prayer warriors have been doing a prayer drive for over 7 weeks now. We just had our 7th week this last Friday, and we're going to do another one this Friday. We'd love for you to join us. We drive together, and we pray for our local hospitals. We call out people's names if people give us those names, and we'll call out their name. We'll pray for them by name. We pray for people in general, sicknesses and diseases. We pray by the power of the Spirit of God. And in those prayers, we pray for people's names, and Dudley was one of those names given to us weeks and weeks ago. I mean, probably 6 to 7 weeks ago. The doctor said it's over for him. And even Dudley's daughter, Catherine, she paid for the funeral just a few weeks ago. On the day when the medical equipment that was keeping him alive was no longer working, it was removed. It was in that moment that Dudley Hiles began to breathe on his own. COVID-19 almost killed Dudley Hiles, but people were praying. The doctor had no more answers, no more medicine, no more machines. They had no more human wisdom in how to keep him alive, but God. A miracle is an event that cannot be explained by natural or scientific laws. That happened on Friday, April 24th. And then the miracle continued. A dead man walked out of Mercy Hospital 19 days later, this past Wednesday on May 13th. That's the God we serve. Miracles still happen today, church. I mean, even people that worked there said, yeah, I didn't think he was going to make it. Nobody did. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And he needs, you know, it's hard being in a hospital that long, and he needs strength in his body. Lord, I just pray right now, give him strength. Anything he's dealing with, God, if he's having vertigo right now, may you just take out that swelling by the power of Jesus and heal him right now. God, I pray that there'd be strength in his bones and his muscles and his ligaments, and his blood flows exactly how it's called to flow. And we pray that right now in Jesus' name. We pray that he's strengthened. You know what's cool, church? Is he drove with us on Friday in a car. The guy gets out on Wednesday. Dead man walking, now dead man driving, and the faith that lifted us up and the belief that we believe in miracles drove with us on Friday. That's amazing. I pray that builds your faith this morning, church. Never give up. Never stop praying. But my heart also goes out to the ones that haven't seen a miracle. On Facebook this week, I was writing back and forth with this sweet lady named Marcia. Questions were being asked like, why do some people get healed and other people don't? Marcia is hurting. Her heart is broken. Her husband's best friend of 42 years old, her husband's best friend of 42 years, he's a 48-year-old healthy man. He had a wife. He had children. He even had a granddaughter. He died of COVID-19 just a few days ago. Why did this happen? Why do some people get healed and some people don't get healed? There's no human wisdom for this. There's no earthly answer other than God calls us, believers, to pray in Jesus' name for people to be healed. And we leave the rest into God's hands. And we leave the rest up to God's will. So the reality is, miracles still happen today. So does great loss and hurt. We personally know this. 3.5 months before we got married, my wife's mom died. A healthy 45-year-old woman passed away of a rare blood disorder. And she was in the hospital for a month. Died right before we got married. Can't explain that. So here's the reality. There's a family and a great group of people. Marcia's friends. And they're broken and they're searching for answers. And I know many of you have had loss as well. and you wonder, why didn't I see a miracle? I want to remind you of God's word in 1 Peter 5:7. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. I'd like to start off this morning before I start preaching and pray for this group of wonderful people and to also pray for you. Will you join me in that, church? Father, you're a good God, and you love us. And I realize we live in a dying and broken world because of the sin that we chose. We live in bodies that were originally created to live forever, but because of sin, they will die. But our spirit and our soul will last forever if we know you, Jesus, as our Savior. There is a hurt and broken group of people right now. Marcia's family and friends, her husband, all the people around. Lord, I lift them up to you right now. There's no earthly answer that we can give them. There's no scientific fact. There's no method or knowledge we could have or some math problem that could figure out how often or when miracles happen. God, that's just laid in your hands. We don't always have to understand everything, but we trust you. And there is a hurting and broken family. And I don't know if they know you as Savior, God, but I pray that your Holy Spirit fill their room wherever they're at. If they're listening to this, if they're not, they just feel the presence of God. May they feel the love of God. You hold them, and they're broken and hurting. Lord, I just, Dennis Gutenkopf, yeah, just brought me to, you just brought his name into my mind and heart. Lord, he's lost a lot of family in the last year. Hold him now. He's such a servant of God. He was mowing the lawn all day yesterday. Hold him, God. Let him know that you love him. Lord, we just lift all these people up who are hurting and wondering. And God, may you be the answer. And believers, may we be the people that pray no matter what the outcome. Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right, time to preach. Can people really change? Can people really change? Are we all hardwired by our genetics to act and think a certain way? Can we overcome the lack of lessons we've learned in our early childhood? Those are some big questions. I have a few examples that suggest that people can change. For example, did you know before Gene Simmons was the lead singer of a makeup-wearing, tongue-out 70s rock group Kiss, he was actually a sixth-grade teacher in Harlem. Before this guy played an astronaut, fished in the middle of a river, or traveled backward through time, Brad Pitt spent his days standing outside wearing a chicken costume, enticing customers to come into El Pollo Loco restaurant. Bueno comida! Is that right? Good food? Eh. It's broken Spanish. Okay. Before she was whipping up French cuisine, Julia Child was actually an intelligence officer in the CIA. Before I was a pastor, I was training to be a UFC fighter. Okay, that was not real. I just want to see if y'all paying attention. I'll be like, oh, no! Tap out, right? Don't hurt me! Y'all listening now. Nah, but for real. All my years following Jesus, there most definitely is one thing I've seen over and over and over again is that Jesus changes people. He does. As I move forward, and as you move forward in your journey with Jesus, who knows where he might take us? Who knows how he might change us? Right? Loudmouth organ boy behind a pulpit preaching in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Who knows where God will take you? This morning, I want to take a broad look at one of my favorite characters in all of the Bible. He encountered Jesus, and how his journey, how his encounter changed his journey with Jesus and changed him forever. His name is Peter. Can anybody relate with Peter? Can I get a amen, right? Y'all ever put size 12 or size 11, whatever you wear, in your mouth before? You ever just reacted instead of thought, prayed, and then did something? Come on, people. No, y'all have. Name's Peter. See, the greatest thing about Peter is that he gives us so much material to use, especially if we want to talk about failure along the journey. What you ultimately find out about Peter's journey is that when he fails forward, not backwards. This may be, if you're taking notes, this is very important. This may be one of the most important lessons we can learn in our journey with Jesus, is when you fail, fail forward, not backwards. Peter has so many mistakes we can learn from. He's the one who cut off the high priest's servant's ear when Jesus got arrested. In John 18:11, Jesus told Peter, "Put away your sword," right? Chill out, Peter. Peter's the one who, when Jesus began washing the disciples' feet, refused and said, "No, you shall not, you should never wash my feet. Jesus, you will not wash my feet." John 13:8. When Jesus talks about his coming crucifixion, Peter pulls him along, pulls him aside, right? He tells Jesus and he rebukes him. "Jesus, stop saying that. You don't know what you're talking about. How would you ever say that?" In Matthew 16:22-23, then Jesus says back to Peter, quote, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter denied he even knew Jesus three times. He walks with him for 3.5 years and then denies him three times before the rooster crowed. Peter's also the one who was confronted by Paul by backing down with fellowshipping with Gentiles because Peter was afraid of what the Jewish Christians would think about him. Come on, that'll preach. That's in Galatians 2:11-21. If you remember from our sermon about a month ago, it was about the church. Remember that Peter is also the same person who Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "You, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church." Oh, that's big. It's comforting for me to know that God entrusted the beginning of the church to a man who made so many mistakes with his journey with Jesus. Peter teaches us that as long as we keep getting up and keep walking with Jesus, failure is never final. In our journey with Jesus, you will encounter disappointments, you will slip up, you will even fail. Trust me, I know. So what would Jesus undo? Jesus wants to undo your failures and remind you of your future with him. Peter's life shows us that one of the most important things you can do after a disappointment, after a loss, or a failure is to start a new path back to where God was taking you. See, it's okay to catch your breath, grab your bearings after a failure, but if you want to keep going with Jesus, you got to get back in the game. After Peter's first big failure, he was having a really hard time re-engaging. Jesus rose from the dead, and Peter was in a strange and awkward place. Peter was thrilled that Jesus was alive. That's awesome, but he also remembered this moment as well in Luke 22:59-61. About an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them because he's a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked. have Peter. Suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Jesus said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. See, Peter was glad that Jesus was back, but Peter still has those eyes piercing his heart. And the massive failure hanging over his head. So what does Peter do? What many of us do. He goes back to the way it was before Jesus. He tries to escape his failure. At the beginning of John chapter 21, in the beginning of verse 3, it says, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. I wonder if Peter had some of the same dialogue in his mind as I do when I fail. I wonder if the conversation in his head went anything like this. I was never very good at being a disciple anyway. I was fishing when he first found me, and I told him, go away from me, I'm a sinful man. He was warned, but he still kept calling me to him. I'm not a rock. There's nothing solid or strong in me. I'm going to stick with what I know and what I'm good at. See, there's 10 other guys who can be his fishers of men. I'll just be a fisher of fish. I knew I'd mess this up. Why did he even call me? On your journey with Jesus, when you fail, or when things get really hard, you're going to be tempted to go back to the way it was. There will be something inside of you that calls to you to go back to the way it was comfortable before you took the risk. To go back to what you knew before you started following Jesus. Fortunately, church, God gave us Romans 11, 29. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. This irrevocable call and gift stands in the way for so many of us who want to go back to the way it was. Peter wanted to be a fisherman again, but the problem was he was called to be a church leader. Personally, even if I wanted to stop, I've had way too many failures to stop being a pastor now. I would expect more amens on that, y'all. Y'all holding back just because you can't hide behind the amen and then duck, right? Because I see you. See, I find new terrible jokes that mostly don't work almost every week. You're welcome. I've discovered many ways to not counsel people through their problems or spiritual issues. I found too many ways to ask in the wrong way for volunteers to help out. I'm finding new ways to not do ministry almost every month. And God won't let those good failures go to waste. His call and his gifts are irrevocable. They will never be withdrawn. God can redefine the context, the location, and the expression, but no matter what happens on your journey, the call will never leave. Think about that. Something God calls irrevocable will never be taken or called back. Never. So what has God called you to do? What has God called your life to be? The call on Peter to be the rock of the church couldn't just go away because he failed. You, church, are called to minister God's truth, life, and grace wherever you go. You can no longer just go fishing because God still has a call on your life. Because Jesus, if you let him, he will undo your failures. Some of you might have thought that when things didn't go as you hoped, it was all over. But your setbacks will and can be a step into the future God has for you. The future context of the call may be different, the expression may not be what you expected, but if you keep walking with Jesus, he will bring you it out of you again. Don't give up. Fail forward. Peter finds a rebirth, a second chance. Peter finds restoration. How? How could he fail so bad and find that? How? It all started with a conversation with Jesus again in John 21, verses 15, 16, and 17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. Verse 17. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Do you see what Jesus is doing right here? "You still love me, right, Peter?" "Yes, God." "Then step back into what I've called you to do. Peter, you failed me. But you love me, right?" "I do, Jesus. You know I do. I loved you even then." "Then embrace the purpose and the plan I have for your life. You love me, right, Peter?" "Lord, stop saying that. I love you so much." "Peter, you can fish, but you can't be a fisherman. Be the pastor, be the shepherd, and be the rock I've called you to be." Next time we see Peter after that little talk with Jesus, he's in a room with other followers of Jesus. He stands up and finds a replacement for Judas. Do you know what he was doing? He was leading the church. The very next thing Peter does after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is he stands up again, he goes outside, and he gives the very first altar call sermon where over 3,000 people give their hearts to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that very moment. See, I wonder. Peter sat back down and watched the other disciples caring for all those people. Do you think Peter thought back on the beginning where Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men"? Do you think in his mind flashed back to Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it"? I wonder if Peter thought, "I'm living the promise." Church, look at me. One of my favorite things about the journey with Jesus is he is the only one that can make you what you aren't. Only he can see who you truly are and bring you into what you truly can become. Only Jesus can undo your failures and help you fail forward. Peter saw himself as a fisherman. Jesus saw Peter as the rock for his church. Despite all of Peter's failures, Peter became what God had in mind, and so can you. During the Watergate scandal, Chuck Colson, this guy was President Nixon's hatchet man. And in 1974, he pled guilty to obstruction of justice. He went to prison. In his book, Born Again, Colson wrote this, quote, "I find myself increasingly drawn to the idea that God had put me in prison for a purpose and that I should do something for those I had left behind." End quote. When Colson got out, he launched Prison Fellowship, which is right now the nation's largest nonprofit organization serving prisoners. Colson went from prison to leading Prison Fellowship. On your journey with Jesus, if you keep walking with him, you will never you'll never fail. You'll become all that God has in mind for you. Church, fail forward and allow Jesus to undo your failures. Your life is precious and your time is short. And you're skilled and so gifted. See how tragic it would be to invest so much time, learn so much, and accomplish so much, only to find out in the end it was all for the wrong things. What has Jesus called you to? What failure have you allowed to detour that journey? Now, for real, how many of us sometimes feel that the message of heaven is do better, walk faster, try harder, and don't fail? Come on, be honest. See, we buy into this earthly assumption. We start walking down a road God never called us to walk down. And we carry a burden he never intended us to carry. There's not a single time in the Bible where God says, try harder. There's not a single time in the Bible where Jesus says, you're never going to fail. That would make no sense. Why would we need Jesus? See, over and over again, what God actually does says is this: turn your heart to me. Come to me, draw to me, repent, and turn away from that stuff and look at me. Daily, we feel so much pressure to be everything and to do everything and to have everything and to never fail at anything. But joy is never found in never failing. Joy is found when you fail forward. Joy is found when you walk down the road God made for your life. You might have fallen, might have failed. I pray that this be your get back up sermon. Get back up. You can do it. Psalm 37, 23 through 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he may fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You've taken a detour in your life because of failure. This morning, you can start a path back to the road God has called you to. Amen? Jesus wants to break the chains of your failure right now. Number one, ask Jesus to forgive you. Number two, forgive yourself. Yourself. Number three, get back up and walk toward God. That's it. See, there's nothing too powerful for God's love to not overcome. You're never too far gone. Never. God's grace is sufficient for anything and everything you've ever done. His forgiveness is there. Faithful determination through failure will lead to success. Stop trusting in the arms of the flesh and run into the arms of Jesus. Church, let Jesus undo your failures so you can fail forward. Church, let Jesus undo your failures so you can walk back into that irrevocable call he has for you. This is where I wrote down Holy Spirit time in prayer. I believe there's a lot of people out there, maybe even in this room. I know in my life, I failed a few times pretty big. And I thought it was over. And the enemy likes to say, look what you've done. Look what you've done. You made a mess. Look what you did. Not only that, look what you keep doing, man. Listen it up. I want you to remind the devil of the cross. Look what he did. See, what I did is still on that cross, but I'm running out of that empty grave. I'm running out free. I'm running out called. I'm running out. See, that irrevocable call that I thought was gone, that thing that you called me to, the thing that you keep reminding me of, but I keep denying because I failed. No, I'm not going to fail backwards anymore. I'm failing forward. God, heal me, set me free. Touch me, God. I've messed up. But that's the point of the cross. That when you mess up, you can go back to it and be reminded of what Jesus did. Remind the devil his future, because your future's in God's hands. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Forgive yourself. Get back up and run toward God. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. Wherever you're at, if you're feeling this, that this is for you. This is a word for you. I can't put hands on you right now. It says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It says, lay hands, and there's an impartation of God's Spirit. It says, come and have the elders pray for you and the leaders of the church, and you should be healed and set free. And that things happen when that happens. But you know what? It's a representation. So right now, wherever you're at, if this is a word for you and you feel like you failed and you don't have a call in your life, or you believe that failure has just totally taken your life in a detour, today's the day of your get back up sermon. Get back up. It's not over. Allow Jesus to undo your failures. That's you today. Put your hand on yourself, or if somebody's in your family and they're feeling that right now, go ahead and lay your hand on them and let's pray. Jesus, you're in the business of restoration. You're in the business of repurposing, reusing. You're in the business of seeing dead things come back to life. And I pray that right now, by the power that rose you from the grave, it be the same power in us, and whatever failure, whatever the enemy has put in our minds, or whatever the enemy has placed into deep into our souls and that we've believed, may it be gone, and may your irrevocable call be resurrected right now by the power of Jesus. Father, help us fail forward, God. Help us to fail forward and not backwards. That when we mess up, we run to you and not back to the way it was, or the way that's comfortable, or just go fishing to get away from it, to escape it. Well, we're not perfect. That's why we need the Savior. Remind us of your grace and your mercy. Lord, I lift up all those Christians out there that are judgmental. Speaking out of both sides, saying they praise God, but they curse people. How can you praise God and curse the ones that he died for? Forgive yourself right now and change your tongue to uplift the ones and to build each other up. Yes, you need to correct when it's in love, but if it's in hate or if it's with the devil, may your tongue just be rolled back. And just like Jesus, you told Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because you're not thinking of heavenly things, you're thinking of earthly things. Right now, all those lies of what people have said and judgmental things that have had, they're broken by the power of Jesus. Let them know who you are. Let them know who they are in you, God. May break it right now. May there be a resurrection of calls all over that are listening right now, that are called into the ministry, that are called to do things for people, that are called to be a fivefold minister, called to be in the helps ministry, called to do something with their life, maybe give their business over to Jesus, maybe they're in the wrong profession because that's about money and not about what you called them to, or maybe the gifts and the skill sets they're not using and they know they should be doing something else. God, may you give them that dream and that hope and that call again right now as they get off the detour and back on the road that you've called them to. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. This is for your glory, God. Let our lives represent you, God, that when we stand before you, we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for miracles, signs and wonders. And until the day we can meet again, God, may you continue to pour out your spirit in each and every home, car, wherever, bedroom, living room, kitchen, or even in this sanctuary. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We love you. We hope you have an awesome week. And this is bye for now.